We are in a study in the book of Ephesians, and we finally hit Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, the sermon is to the children, so children, listen up. It is God's Word for us, and we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, don't worry, next week I'll charge the parents, so bring them back, okay? But this sermon this morning is for children. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to come before you and to have your word open to us. And yet, Father, we know that we need your spirit to open our hearts to your word. So speak to us now, Father, that the riches of Christ that are found herein, your word, would be open to us, and that we might delight to glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the fullness of your word, with loving and obedient hearts to you. Father, we praise you for the privilege of coming, and we ask, Father, that you would now speak. Speak to us, Lord, in the blessings of your word, that we might praise you in the name of Christ by the power of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this respect, the sermon is for everyone because everyone in the room is a child, right? You have parents, so hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In verse 4, just so you'll know what's coming, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Some of you go to the grocery store to shop or the mall to shop. I go sometimes to shop, but one of my favorite little adventures is just to go and watch parents. I think that one of the hardest places actually to parent children is in the store. Now, there are so many things there to overwhelm the senses and to draw out their desires that inevitably, particularly if you have smaller kids, they're always grabbing for something. It's very interesting. You can see every category of parenting style. If you go to the grocery store or to Walmart or to whatever store it is, you can see how parents interact with their children. I've seen the extremes just down the street here at the Walmart. One afternoon, I was in the Walmart to pick up something for our family, and I was getting in the express lane, and there were probably half a dozen people in front of me when the person at the counter, a young woman, had a couple of kids, was seeming very exasperated, and she just lost it. And she slapped her kid around 3 or 4 times. A shock went through everybody in that section of Walmart, and then she got more perturbed and began to yell, and it was apparent that she was going to hit the child again. And to my surprise, nobody said anything, so I stepped forward. And I said to her, "If you hit that child again, you won't be able to take him home." And she looked at me, and with the first few fertile words of explanation of her point of view, she was very angry, and that was fine with me. I was happier for her to be mad at me than at the child. And I said, "Well, I know you're upset, but I have a responsibility to you and to this child. As a pastor and a counselor in the state of Texas, if I see child abuse, I'm supposed to report it. And so if you hit that child again, you're not taking him home." She said, "You can't do that to me." And I said, "This cashier, she has your information." And that camera right there got the whole thing. And I'm sure you don't want to go home without your child. All of a sudden, she realized she was caught, so we kind of stepped off to the side, and I gave her a few suggestions for her anger management, and we had a little discussion about some things she could do. But then, she was caught. You know, you wouldn't believe that a person would hit their child in public, but I guarantee if they would hit them in public, they would hit them in private. Something needed to be said. There are extremes in our culture in the way parents bring up children. In another part, in the same store, Walmart, another time, I happened to be walking through the toy aisle with my kids, and there was, as we walked upon an aisle, there was a mom there with a young kid in the center of the floor, all sprawled out, holding onto a toy, just screaming and crying. The mom looked at me exasperated and didn't know quite what to do. And I felt like she wanted me to say something. And I said, it's simply the law of learning. If it works, it happens again. What would you do? She said. I said, I'd pick him up. I'd take him with the toy to the bathroom and we'd have a little talk. And then I'd take the toy from him. You can't buy that toy today. She decided that was a pretty good idea, and he screamed all the way, but it was the same screaming he was already doing. There are different ways in which children respond to parents and parents respond to children. And the God's Word calls us, He even instructs us on what the parent-child relationship is to look like. In a culture where sin reigns and where life is a struggle, you can find that it's hard to be a parent and it's hard to be a child at times. But God gives us instructions on both. God gives us instructions on what that parent-child relationship is to look like from cradle all the way to the grave. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Now, he is obviously speaking to young children at that point, but Paul has a word for children. Very interesting to me. This letter from Paul would have been written and read within the context of a worship service. And so notice, it's Paul's expectation, children, that you would be in worship. One of the things I'm concerned about in our day is we as a church seem to be finding ways to get our children out of worship, and then we don't understand when they're older why they don't feel like they belong. But in Paul's mindset, children belong in worship. It is the epicenter of the experience of the church, and they are a part of the worshiping community. Children belong in worship because they need to hear the Word of God. We should expect our children to be a part of worship, hearing God's Word. And so, beloved, kids, this morning, this sermon's for you because Paul's speaking to you. But the command to obey, as it gives way as we go older to honor, is a promise for us and for our children as well. It's not only a command, but Paul here directs children, and next week he will correct fathers. But in that, there is this lifelong obligation, is there not, in the Bible, that children are to honor their parents. It doesn't say honor them for childhood. It doesn't say honor them into teenage years. It says, children, honor your parents. There's a word here for all of us this morning, but I want us to see that God's Word, it has set up something very important for us here. And as Paul reflects on how the Christian life is lived out, he reflects on it in its most basic institutions. You know, Paul is in the midst of discussing how the gospel is lived out in day-to-day life. And the three most basic structures of relationships in our daily lives are our marriages, our families, and our work. Now, we've dealt for four weeks, on marriage. And now we step into the parent-child relationship. And 2 weeks from now, we'll deal with our relationship in the work day. But Paul is wanting us to see that the gospel applies right here. I remind you that the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians are all about the grace that is given to us in Christ Jesus. And because we have grace in Christ Jesus, we have a new way to approach life. Because God has committed to us His Son in His death, in His resurrection, that we might have life abundant, He calls us, chapter 4, verse 1, to walk worthy of the calling with which we've received. In chapter 5, verse 1, we are to be imitators of Christ, therefore, as dearly loved children of God. And now he is explaining that. And he explains that this morning to children. Children, what does it mean to obey your parents? Children, no matter what age you are, what does it mean to honor mom and dad? What does it mean to walk worthy of the calling of Christ? That's Paul's heart for us this morning, that we would see that the home is a seminary, as it were, for godly relationships and for good discipleship. Paul means for faith to begin at home. Parents, God has entrusted you with the beauties of the gospel to share those with your children. Sure, the church comes alongside, but the church is never to subjugate or to take away that responsibility that God has first given the promotion of faith within children with parents, to love and share the life of Christ. Now the church comes along and speaks that to the whole family because we are a spiritual family together. But that begins at home. The seminary of faith, the seminary of life in godliness is the home. And it must be addressed in our day. Why? Because Paul wants us to see that growing discipleship begins with love and affirmation and obedience in the home. Every child needs two things. For a home to be godly, every child needs two things. An abundance of love and an appropriate set of limits. Children need both. And sometimes we wrestle with where to go there, right? Sometimes we find families that are all about the limits. The law, the law, the law. God's law is good because it's a very reflection of His character, right? But as much as we need the law, the home needs love, it needs grace, it needs affirmation. And the balance is what's beautiful in the Christian home. That's what the home that is honoring to God approaches. Love and limits in the bounds of God's good grace. So this morning, I want us to see three things. I want us to see the rule of loving obedience, the reason for loving obedience, and the reward of loving obedience. First, notice the rule for loving obedience. There in the passage, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Notice, the rule of obedience is not the rule of force. We don't obey our parents because they're bigger and older. No, the rule of obedience is God's rule. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The rule for children is obey your parents. The calling towards godliness, children, for you in your daily life, how you walk out your love for Jesus is directly seen in how you honor your parents. One of the great calls God has for you, if you want other people to see the love of Jesus in your heart, you need to begin by showing them that you love your parents, that you respond differently than others to your parents. Why? Because you love the command of God. A child is to do what he or she is told when he or she is told it, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The word here for obey, children, means to hear under. It is a word that means to listen closely and to hear under. It is a word that means, basically, it's the language of hearing. To hear is to obey. Now, kids, let me ask you, how do you do? How do you do with that? When you hear mom ask you to do something, do you obey? Teenagers, when you hear mom, do you obey first time? When you hear dad speak, do you honor first time? You know, what's implicit in the word here is that idea is to hear is to obey. To respond, not just in your timing, but to respond to your parents when asked, when responded to. Why? You see, children are to obey. And they are to obey in the Lord. It is honoring to God. If you want to show your love for God, you begin by showing your love for those that God has placed over you, your parents. There is a willingness of heart that is to come with obedience in the home. Now, the truth be told, particularly with younger kids, you can get them to obey. But it's a whole different matter, isn't it, kids, to want to obey. And this is what God wants from you, from the text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because you are to want to obey what God has called you to. That's God's goal for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that sets the scope of their authority over you. They are to ask you to do what God asks you to do, not more, not less. There's the scope. You are to obey in the Lord. But it's also the motivation for you. For those of you who are kids and students in your life, your motivation is to obey in a way that's honoring to God because it's unto Him. Now, granted, that looks a little different at different ages of life. But here is, simply put, here is the rule of loving obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It is the call of Scripture. You see, the Bible has a distinctly covenantal way of thinking about the home. That it is a small reflection. The home is a small church that's a reflection of the bigger church, which is a reflection of the glories of the kingdom of God. And so in that home, not only are to obey, you are to want to obey, you are to hear and obey, you are to love to obey the providential, promising direction of your parents. Now, parents, I promise this was a sermon to children, but I need to speak a word to you here as well. Parents, you must understand that kids by nature need direction, right? And this goal for you, you know, it's impossible to follow in the Lord if you're not leading in the Lord. And God's goal for you in parenting is to lead in such a way that the home is a gospel-saturated, Bible-rich school of learning. There's your goal. Keep God's Word and God's truth before your children. And children respond in loving obedience. You know, we don't need to go much further than the life of Jesus to find the perfect example of this. Jesus, we're told in Luke chapter 2, when he was 12, went down to Jerusalem with his parents, and they went to the feast of Passover. Jesus must have been a pretty good kid, as you might expect, since he was perfect. And the parents kind of lost track of him. And so on the way home from Passover, they realized that he wasn't with the traveling caravan. And they went back to Jerusalem and they looked for him for 3 days. And when they caught up with Jesus, what they found was that Jesus was smarter than all the preachers in Israel. He was sitting in the temple, in his father's house, talking to him about, and they were amazed at his answers. Not only was Jesus smarter than all the preachers in Israel, he was smarter than his parents. When his parents said, "Do you not know what you've done to us? We've been looking for you for 3 days." Jesus said, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" You know, it's very interesting. After that, Jesus goes home with his parents. And even as a 12-year-old, what the Scripture tells us is that he went down, he went home with his parents, and he was submissive to them. He obeyed them. He honored them. You know, he followed their direction. And we are told that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Here's my point. And my point is this. I love that TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You know, the other night, The Astronaut Lost. I like it because that's about the level of my math. I actually got the million-dollar math question right that night. I wish I'd been on. Of course, if I was on the show, I'd probably miss, you know, the first question. But you know, are you smarter than a fifth grader? That's right up my alley. But I've decided that what would be a fun show, I'm sure I would have no problems getting candidates for, is I'm going to start a game show, Are You Smarter Than Your Parents? And what I find is somewhere about 12, every kid thinks, I am smarter than my parents, right? And for some of you, that continues. And until mom and dad stop paying for college, you get out there and you're on your own. Somehow, some magic, all of a sudden parents get smarter again, right? But I have no doubt that I would have no problem getting people to sign up for my game show, Are You Smarter Than Your Parents? And here's the truth, Jesus was. He was smarter than all the preachers in Israel. He was smarter than his parents. And he still found a way to honor and obey because that's what God called him. Children, your job isn't as hard as Jesus's. Jesus was perfect and his parents weren't. And still, he found a way to keep God's commands. I know there are tough times and sometimes you need to have good discussions with your parents, but you are to do that in a respectful, loving, honoring way. Children, the rule is this. Obey your parents in the Lord. You see, loving our Heavenly Father is mirrored in obeying our earthly parents. We want to show the love of Christ. We must begin with honor in the home, with obedience in the home. I know the teenagers in our church have been asked by Brian and Janelle to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's a good place to start. I love the first seven chapters of Proverbs because they are the words of a father to a son as he gives instructions. Back in Proverbs, notice the words of Scripture. Fathers to sons, how are we to live? As the proverbial words come here in chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, make your ear attentive to the wisdom and incline your hearts to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice to understanding, it is like silver and search for it like hidden treasures. You know, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. And parents are to expose the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to children. reflect upon that, children. You are to be attentive to the teachings of your parents. Chapter 3, again, here we see in the Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years in life and peace will be added to you. Notice the promise there. Blessing comes in the honor of parents. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them as tablets on your heart so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And then a verse, two verses that happen to be most many people's favorite verse. Notice it comes in the context of the honor and obedience to parents. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. You know, there's the great challenge in the rule of obedience is that when we're young, we are prone to be wise in our own eyes. That's not merely an indictment. That's a truth about the human condition. Your parents have been through it. We've all been through it. And God's call is not for us to be wise in our own eyes. That's the easy part of life. The goal is to be wise unto godliness. And so God has given us parents to help direct our attention. Notice there the rule of loving obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But notice the reason there that Paul gives. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, verse 1, for this is right. Now, there's the reason for obedience. There is a rationale that Paul has here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children are to obey, Paul says, for it is right. It is expectant, it is fitting, it is proper to obey. Why? For it is right. That word right there is not just a word that means correct. It means just and righteous. It is correct, just, and righteous to follow the lead of your parents. It is correct, just, and righteous to walk in obedience. And the failure of obedience is a sign of the moral brokenness of our condition. Children, when you argue with your parents, it's easy to think that they're wrong. But the truth is, you're wrong too. You see, everybody knows, every culture knows. Why do we obey our parents? Every culture expects obedience, right? Why do we obey our parents? For it is right. Natural law tells us that. God, in His grace and His common working in mankind, has written it upon our hearts that we know it's right to obey our parents. And then He comes and He reconfirms that with His revealed will. The Word of God comes and says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. What God has put upon the heart, He expressly says to us in His Word, it is right to obey. Why must we be told to obey? Because there's a moral brokenness. It's our disposition to sin. And parents, you got to know that. You are molding children who want to walk their own way, and so you have to lovingly lead them in the right way. But children, you got to know, that's the goal of good parenting. When you're bent is to do it your way, God's goal for your parents is to teach you to do it the right way. And your bent is to do it your way. And God's goal is to do His good, His glory. We are to walk in His way. There's the reason for obedience. For it is right. You see, God's calling us here not only to have the right action in obedience, but the right attitude in obedience. In this respect, children, growing up is like rock climbing. And if you're smart, you'll strap on a rope when you learn to rock climb. Why? Because the margin of error is very slim. You don't want to fall from 50 to 100 feet up. And it just takes one slip. And so God has designed parents to be that safety rope. By God's design, parents are a safety rope to help children grow. Now, as you grow older, yeah, they should give you a little more slack in the line. But not enough so you'd break your leg or hang yourself. The goal of parenting and the challenge of parenting is back and forth. Understanding where's the balance of freedom and responsibility. But know that God's goal for your parents is that they would raise you rightly. You know, when I'm working with one of my four kids, you know, something will come out of their mouth is, well, I don't like that. Or I don't want that. And they can tell you my normal responsibility, my normal response to kind of that disrespectful talk back to me is to go, excuse me? My current kids have learned that when we're talking about obedience, I want first-time obedience, but I want obedience from the heart. And so when I hear them speak disrespectful to me, I just say, excuse me, now, what is that you said again? And because they know that it's right that they should obey, almost always they go to stutter. Right now I'm coaching one of my sons in soccer. Nine-year-olds are fun to coach. Because they're just hitting that age where they're sure they know more about soccer than I do as the coach. It's kind of fun to begin to coach. And so I've got a couple of kids on my team who put the sass and sassy, the diss and disrespect. And for about 2 months now, we've been working along. They'll tell me how I should coach them, and I will say something like this to them. By the way, who is the coach? And they'll say, well, you're the coach. Well, then why don't you do what I tell you out on the field? Okay, and they kind of run off. But we have this little discussion over, and I started doing the same thing with me. I've got one little kid in particular. I watch how he talks to his parents. He talks to me just the way he talks to his parents. He wants to tell me what to do, and I'll say, excuse me? And yesterday, as he was telling me how I was to coach the team, I said, excuse me? And he looked at me and goes, never mind. And walked back on the field. Now, I'll tell you, I'm coaching him in soccer, but that's real progress. You know why that's real progress? It's taken me 2 months to impact his heart. That really, the way life works, not just the home, all of life works as we respond rightly to God-given authority. Soccer teams don't work unless the coach leads and others do what they're told. You know, his job on a soccer team is to play his part. My job on a soccer team is to see the whole field and to get people in the right position, right? Children, that's what the home is like. The goal of the home is for you to do your part. And the job of moms and dads is to see the whole picture, to raise you up, to set you free, to prosper in the beauties of Christ. That's why, children, obedience, loving obedience is to be an honest and heartfelt duty. What does honest and heartfelt duty look like? What does loving obedience look like? It looks like trusting your parents and their leading of your lives. Do parents miss it? Absolutely. The best thing you can do for parents, for your children, is when you miss it, and you will this week, is to apologize. Say, I'm sorry. Sit down with them. Be the best repenter in the home, mom and dad. But it doesn't say, children, obey your parents if they get it all right. It says, obey your children in the Lord, for this is right. Yeah, that's the culture we live in, isn't it? Did I say obey your children? I'd have missed it, but my wife was looking right at me. It is the culture we live in where most of the time we do obey our children, right? So let the pastor recant his heresy, and let's say that differently. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is our goal this morning. It is to do it the right way. That is the attitude of obedience. Right away, that is the action of obedience, that we might understand that we are called to follow our parents. You know, when you're young kids, the bent is to hide, right? You sin, you do it wrong, mom and dad have caught you red-handed, and what do you say? I didn't do that. Mm-mm. In our home, you get disciplined twice for that. There's the matter of honesty, and there's the matter of the wrong. And we prize honesty even above getting it right in the mistake. Why? Because honesty is character deep. I know my kids are going to fail. My goal is not to hammer them when they fail, but to lead them when they fail, right? But it is honest obedience. But, you know, some of you who are in the teen years, you think your parents are the worst in the world because they put a curfew, right? You have to come in at 9 o'clock at night. You got some friend who stays out until 2 a.m. I'm telling you, there's nothing you can get into at 2 a.m. but trouble. And you're all frustrated with your parents because they're they're concerned that you don't fry your brain on drugs, or that you don't get caught in a situation where you get alienated from that which is right in the law. You are to honor and obey your parents. There is this goal for us, that we would serve rightfully those who God has placed over authority over us, so that we might do that which is right. Why? Because it's the very character of God to be righteous. And we are to pursue righteousness. It's the goal of parents to see righteousness lived out in the home. Children, your world, your friends, your culture, your music tells you that your parents are stupid. And it'll tell you again and again, and you get this little bug within you that begins to believe that, and then you become disrespectful. And that is disobedience. The Bible says that's all wrong. The Bible says the world is stupid, and you are to honor your parents. What I want us to see is that there is this play within our culture where we are called. We live in a very child's, you know, in Paul's culture, it was this way. Fathers had what was called a patre potassus. If a child was born to a father and he didn't want that child, he had the right under Roman law in Paul's day to just cast that child out. As a matter of fact, we have history, letters in history, where fathers wrote home when they were out to war telling their wives, if it's a boy, keep it, and if it's a girl, discard it. Paul has a high theology of the value of children. There was no value for children in the day of Paul. But our culture is almost exactly the opposite. We live in a childish culture, right? Where everything is directed towards being 12 years old, as if that's the epitome of life. We live in a very childish culture where you are told it's okay to discount your parents. And the Bible simply says that's stupid. Because the goal of parents is to help you grow in the grace of Jesus. Because parents are to have the best interest of their children at hand. And so, as a promise, God comes on and He not only tells us the rule of obedience and the reason for obedience, to obey in the Lord and the reason of obedience, to obey for this is right. He shows us the reward of obedience. And Paul really emphasizes the reward of obedience here in verse 2 and 3. Notice the reward for loving obedience, verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. And then in parentheses here, in parentheses here, this is the first commandment with a promise. Matter of fact, in the Ten Commandments, it's the only commandment with a promise. Here is the, get this, Paul is saying, get this, and you'll get everything else. Begin with the honor of your parents, and the whole of God's law will open up to you. Verse 3, and here's the twofold reward of honor and obedience, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. You know, we need to remember, everyone who's a child in the room with a living parent, we need to remember we have lifelong obligations to our parents. We are to honor. When you're young, that looks like obedience, right? Obey your mom and dad with the right heart. When you come into teenage years, that's obedience with honor. Not only are you to obey with the right heart, you are to give due honor and appreciation to your parents. When you're an adult, you're still called to honor your parents. You are called to give them the honor of position, to remember that history and their dedication to you, and to give honor to your parents. You know, a society the spiritual health of a society can be directly reflected in how it takes care of its weakest. And that is always its youngest and its oldest. Right? What is true and undefiled religion according to James? True and undefiled religion comes in the way we care for our orphans and our widows, right? And we're not a country that does either one of those very well right now, right? We abort and discard the unwanted, and we sometimes shuffle the old to the side, and we fail to care for them. I'm not talking about the way you care for them, but we are to care for the young and the old. I read the story of a couple who had taken in the husband's father, and he had come to a point where he could barely care for himself anymore, and it really upset the daughter-in-law, and he would sit down at the table with them, and he would eat, but he was noisy because he couldn't quite move his hands, and he would rattle, and it was a big mess. And so one night she decided that she had just had enough, and she said, "We're putting him in a corner." And so he would sit over in the corner, and they would feed him in an earthen vessel, and he would eat and longingly want to be at the table, but he sat there. And then one night, another night, he broke the bowl, and so the wife made a trough, and she said, "If he's going to act like an animal, we'll just feed him like an animal." So they put him in a high back chair and put a blanket under him so it would be easy to clean up, and made him a little wooden trough to eat out of. And he did that for a couple of weeks until one day the father was out in his wood shop with his son, and they were working on a project. And the son, who was young and really beloved by his parents, had a couple pieces of wood and was trying to put something together. And the dad said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm building your trough for you and Mommy and Daddy when you get old." That night, they brought Grandpa back to the dinner table. The way we treat our old is the way our young will treat us. And what we need to remember is that there is an extension of this command. Paul is going from the narrow to the broad here. Children, kids, you are to obey. And adult children, you are to honor. You know, there's a whole spectrum here of how we are to treat one another. The home is to be an environment of love and compassion and commitment. And how does God respond to us responding to His call? He responds in this way. If we follow His word, then we can expect the reward of life, right? That it may go well with you. That life would be cherished and would be good. And that your days may be long in the land. Now we know it's not an ironclad promise there in the sense that we shouldn't absolutize that promise. We know in God's providence, sometimes God shakes our young ones home and they don't get long life. But at the same time, or certain aspects of their lives are robbed from. But this is the good path of life, Paul is saying. This is the good path that if you will honor father and mother, you will find that life will go well with you and that you will have long years, that you may enjoy life. This week, my wife and my sons were talking about how people live longer today. They'd been reading some history, and back earlier in America when you know, 40, 50 was a long lifespan, and they were talking about what it was like to be 100 years old. And one of my sons said to my wife, "Why is it people live to be 100 today, Mommy, when they didn't live to be that old a couple of centuries ago?" And she said, "Well, you know, Mom, being the teacher, since we school our kids, being the teacher, she was going to see this as an opportunity to tell them about medicine and technology. And so she said, you know, we've much better medicine. You know, you can give drugs. We're much better at diagnosing the issues of what's going on. And so more people are living longer today." And that son just kind of sat there for a few moments. And she said, "Well, what are you thinking, son?" And he said, "Well, I was thinking they probably just obeyed their parents when they were young." Now, what Marion said is true, right? Because of common grace, there's been more marvels in medicine and modern technology in the last 100 years than all the history of the world together. But don't miss my young theologian on this. Don't miss the expectation of my young theologian on this, that he's beginning to embody this idea that there are certain advantages to living life God's way. And that's the goal of the home. The goal of the home is to help children to live life God's way. And the goal of the home at every age is to live life God's way so that we might honor, love, and obey Christ. You see, loving obedience sets us on the path for the good life. We live in a world where there are competing views about what the good life is, right? You turn on the TV and the good life is being a rock star. And the Bible says, no, the good life is being intact with Christ and home and the beauties of grace. You see, there's what the gospel would want to remind us of, is that God has this great goal, not just to save individuals, but to save couples and their children and their children's children after them. And the home is to be a seminary of the grace of God. So children, obey your Lord. to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For you guys and girls who are young, 10 and under, that means don't sass. It means when mom and dad ask, obey first time. You know what I want you to work on, kids? I want you to work not only on obedience, but first time obedience. Obey your parents in the Lord. Go home today and surprise the socks off of them, because when you're asked, you do it first time with a good attitude. You'll honor God in the doing. For those of you who are teenagers, as you're approaching that age where the mental joust, where it's a lot of fun, you've got to remember that this life is not a great debate to get your way. Yes, you may reason responsibly with mom and dad, but they have final say. Teenagers, you are to obey your mom and dad. College students, y'all didn't want me to talk to you, did you? Y'all live in that very unique predicament where you got lots of freedom and still responsibility to the home, right? As long as you're a line item in the budget, you owe diligence, honesty, obedience to your parents. I know you want to live as an adult, and that's great. But part of growing up is remembering that in the leaving, you are still supposed to honor your parents. And this is what I find for most college students. It means not hiding, and it means being honest. This is what I find when students go away to school. All of a sudden, they become very private, and they become very guarded. Find your family, your parents, to be your allies and not your enemies. Don't just want their wallet. Want their wisdom. That's what God calls us to. For those of us who are adults and out of the home, maybe you're in that strange position that I'm in now where your parents call you for advice when you've always called them for advice. The beauty of that relationship begins to change, and as it becomes more that of comrades than top-down, you are still to honor your parents. Remember that history and cherish your parents. See, there's a call for us all here today. All of us are children. And all of us who are children of Christ are called to the honor of the home, because we are called to a life that values the life of others and particularly values the life of our parents. Children obey. Adult children honor. And God will bless in the giving. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word which is true and your word which is faithful. Father, would you help us to love truth, and would you help us to walk faithfully so that, Father, our kids would rise up and call you blessed in honor and obedience to their parents, and that all of us, Father, would love you and not hate authority, but love the authority you place over us, that we might walk in holy obedience before you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.